Last week, a federal judge temporarily halted the Trump administration's plan to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. It's also known as DACA. It's unclear whether efforts to extend that program will be successful. President Trump rejected a tentative agreement reached by a small bipartisan group of senators to keep it going. Under DACA, some 800,000 young immigrants, often referred to as dreamers, can legally live and work in the U.S. Valentina Emilia Garcia Gonzalez is a dreamer, and years ago she moved with her family from Uruguay to Gwinnett County. She now attends Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, and I talked to her about how the DACA program has helped her.
I think what a lot of people don't understand is that the concept of legality and illegality when it comes to immigration is already set up rules. And so a lot of the time it comes down to privilege, right? In my country, we didn't have the privilege of even knowing how to come here legally and the legal ways of doing that. We were just very desperate to get out of a country. And my parents were very desperate to make sure that my brother and I were set up for success and for prosperity. So, you know, now I hear a lot of pushback and talking about, like, well, you should have done it right. Your parents should have done it right. You know, it's a lot of talk about, like, well, what is right? And if there is a way to do it legally, then why aren't there more legal immigrants, quote unquote, legal immigrants? And, you know, it comes back to the get in the line myth or get in the line excuse that people use. And there is no line. There is no concrete, easy, fast, legal way to become a citizen or a resident here.
But you have been here basically since you were in first grade. Do you consider yourself American?
Well, yes. I mean, besides being, you know, being born in a South American country, and that already grants me Americanness, you know, yes, I do consider myself American because I've fully assimilated into this country. I know more about this country, its history, its people, its culture, everything more so than Uruguay. You know, I like to think that Uruguay was like my birth country or like my birth mother that gave me up for adoption, and the United States took me with open arms and has given me everything.
So what changed for you? How different was it after Obama signed DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, as opposed to before?
I think that once DACA came about and I became a DACA recipient, the world opened up to me, right? It was very apparent to me, especially being in high school and seeing all my peers and all of my friends, being able to drive and do, I guess, the regular teen things, going out at night, doing, you know, driving. And then when it came to my senior year, applying to college, and I had to have a really rough conversation with my mother about being undocumented and what that meant for me. And that meant, you know, not being able to drive, not really going outside during certain times to not be caught by the police, changing my whole life and my whole life routine around just to avoid being seen and being known as an undocumented person. So once DACA did come about and Obama did sign that, I was able to work. I was able to help my parents and my family economically. I was able to get a license. But the thing is with DACA, as, you know, thankful and as privileged as I am to be an undocumented person with DACA, what people don't understand is DACA is a very exploitative thing. The only thing that it grants me is a license and a work permit. It doesn't necessarily grant me a higher education, as is seen in Georgia, where undocumented students are banned from the top three universities now, where it used to be the top five, because of the Board of Regents Policy 416, and we are barred from financial aid because of Policy 434.
And DACA is expensive, too. You pay money to be part of that program. How much do you pay?
I think we pay around $500 to $600. To file that, and plus if we use an attorney to do that for us, it might be even more, like up to $1,000, $1,500.
So now that DACA has been or will be basically rescinded, what are you worried about?
Being at Dartmouth, I'm worried about my literal safety. And this is because I've had individual students and student organizations threaten to deport me. So my freshman year, there was an incident where I got a message from an individual student that if I ran for a student government position, that he could very easily call immigration. After Trump got elected, student organization on campus said that they could call ICE and have all the undocumented students deported at Dartmouth. And, you know, people didn't understand that that is a direct threat to our lives. And it was just very hard.
I can't imagine if you were deported back to Uruguay, what would you do? You were six when you left there.
Right. I think being my 15 years being in the United States, I've thought about it a lot. I've grown up in this country with just my parents and my siblings. You know, I have seen my friends go to their cousin's house, their grandparents' house, and my grandparents died while I have been in this country. I don't know where they're buried. I wasn't there for them when they died. You know, if I were to go back to Uruguay, my whole family, the six of us, we'd be living in a shed with an outhouse with maybe electricity. And to liken that to where we live now, where we live in a house, where we have, you know, a dog, we have food in our fridge, we have all these privileges, and to go back to a country that I literally know nothing about would be just devastating.
That's Valentina Emilia Garcia Gonzalez. She's one of the young immigrants protected under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA. A federal judge last week temporarily halted plans by the Trump administration to end that program. Last year, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions defended the president's push to eliminate DACA with this claim.
It also denied jobs to hundreds of thousands of Americans by allowing those same illegal aliens to take those jobs.
We want to fact check that, not just that, but many other things related to DACA. Wesley Tharp is research director with the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute. Good morning.
Morning, Celeste. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. Can we start with this? The Jeff Sessions claim that DACA denied jobs to hundreds of thousands of Americans?
That's outright false, Celeste. It's a common misconception that immigrants, whether here on a legal permanent basis or a temporary lawful basis or having originally come to the country illegally, are taking jobs from native-born Americans. But what actually happens with immigration is that immigrants grow the size of the economy as a whole by being workers, entrepreneurs, contributing to their communities, being taxpayers. And so for every job that an individual foreign-born person may quote-unquote take, let's say, for example, an immigrant taking a job on a construction site, they create jobs elsewhere in the economy by circulating those dollars throughout the economy that essentially cancel out any of the lost jobs, or some economists believe benefit the economy perhaps substantially over time.
And this is backed up by numbers. This is not your gut feeling.
Oh, absolutely. This is, I would say, the consensus of mainstream research on the economic benefit of immigrants is that over the long term in particular, the benefits are absolutely positive of additional immigrants coming to communities and to the country as a whole, in the same way we see benefits from native-born people coming to Metro Atlanta or to Georgia as opposed to these communities who are losing population over time. There's some debate about what are the short-term impacts, because there, you know, are there are some pressures there, particularly
short-term
in certain
industries. Short-term means 6 months to a year? Or?
When, say, there's a heightened amount of immigration in a short-term period, are there jobs being, again, quote-unquote, taken in certain industries that might have a large percentage of immigrants? But, again, the consensus, I would say, is that those impacts, even in the short term, are either zero or just very, very minor.
Let's hear this comment from Alex Narasta of the Cato Institute. He says about 91% of DACA recipients are employed. This is him speaking on Fox Business.
They pay in federal taxes about $60 billion a year over the next decade, more than they consume in benefits. And their contribution to American GDP over the next decade will be about $280 billion. Rescinding their work permits does not mean that they leave the United States, does not kick them out. It merely means that they're deprived of jobs.
So if that means that they lose their jobs, that means we lose that $60 billion in taxes if DACA is rescinded?
Right, and let me bring this home to Georgia in particular. Our research indicates that the about 47,000 Dreamers in Georgia, people who are either receiving DACA currently or who are immediately eligible to apply contribute $66 million a year to Georgia in state and
Holy
local
cow.
Tax revenue. If those young people who were brought to this country as children were deported, Georgia would lose that entire $66 million a year. If they lose their DACA status but were allowed to stay, they wouldn't be working as often. They would be receiving lower wages, and so that contribution would shrink substantially.
So, okay, let's hear another comment. And this is a sort of talking about their wages. This is Richard Trumka, and he oversees the AFL-CIO, the union. He says ending DACA would actually make workplaces less safe.
It'll make it more difficult for us to come together to raise wages for everybody. There are 800,000 people that are making contributions every single day. Taking away their rights, making them exposed to being fired at will is not only cruel, it's very, very wrong for the economy. It's a wrong thing to do.
What do we know about the way that DACA recipients in particular affect wages or labor standards?
That's a very good question. I would say that legal status for the immigrant community does have very important implications for workers as a whole, because when there is a large pool of potential workers that don't have the ability to negotiate, don't have the ability to complain, to what have you, it undercuts the legal workforce. And so that's just one example of how having a system for immigrants to be treated fairly, bring them into the fabric of our communities and our economy, spills over into benefits for people as a whole, regardless of whether they were born here or what their legal status is.
That's Wesley Tharp of the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute. I spoke to him last year.